Hello, my name is Nate Laveras, and today I am joined by Dr. Nicole Lopez, a visiting assistant professor of English at St. Mary's University, who teaches courses in rhetoric and composition, classical Western literature, and business writing. She is also the coordinator for interdisciplinary studies. She received her bachelor's degree in Romance Languages and Literatures from Harvard University and received her master's and PhD in Italian Literature from Stanford University. In total, she has 20 years of professional teaching experience, and this will be her second year teaching at St. Mary's University. Dr. Lopez, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, personally, what drove you to pursue a teaching career in Romance Languages and Literature?
Well, I think that one of the things that's interesting in higher education today is that there's a greater diversity in the student population. When I was a child, it wasn't really clear to me, given my own demographics, that college was really an option. And so as a first-generation college student and as the child of an immigrant from Mexico who also... You know, on my father's side of the family, there's a long legacy of intergenerational illiteracies. And so the opportunity to study was something that I really did want to pursue, particularly because, you know, I grew up in a home that really didn't have books or valued that mode of learning. Even though I come from a very agrarian background and a musical background, my family, I wanted to pursue academics. I felt that it would be something that would, of course, not only give me a better quality of life, but it was also interesting to me. I've always been sort of captured by stories, by people's narratives, and I think there's value and wealth in all of them. So when it came to Romance Languages and Literatures, I really wanted to pursue the original texts. And so that's why I wanted to pursue that. My father's family taught me Spanish, and so I had a bit of a leg up when I got to Harvard. But I also had to pursue French and Italian at the same time in order to qualify for that major. So it was the option to really understand the whole of the Western world, in addition to expanding my understanding of the modern world, studying abroad and being part of our travel research and traveling to Europe. And so it was really a kind of expansion of horizons.
And so how has multilingualism in this sense with Romance Languages and, of course, with your background in Spanish, how has that affected your understanding of the idea of communication or the conveying of ideas, feelings, and information?
I think when it comes to something like language, it's always a political issue. So if I think about the relationship between linguistics and power, for example, it really is a reflection of whatever hegemonic entity is in power. I mean, excuse me, in the case of Latin, you would have, you know, it's indicative of the Roman Empire and so on. And so for me, learning languages is almost a kind of resistance to a monolithic world order. If I were to have only learned English, I think that there's a great loss of history and culture. And so for me, when I think about the legitimacy of learning in other languages, I think it's a question of making sure that the container of history, that is to say language, remains intact. In addition, when I teach, I also encourage students to value their mother tongues, their home languages, especially here in Texas. We have a lot of code switching, especially students who are from RGV, the Rio Grande Valley. And so for me, I think there's an intersectionality of identity that needs to be recognized and valued. So if I have students, for example, in a linguistics course, and they're very concerned about learning the Queen's English, I want it communicated to them that their own mother's tongue is equally valid in terms of culture, race, and nationality.
And so from this very personal perspective that you have, how has this ability to communicate effectively, especially in other languages with other people, how has that shaped your career as an educator?
Certainly in terms of teaching, it has been, my training began as a language teacher, linguistics. So when I'm teaching, I think to myself, I always think about the relationship between knowledge and the recipient, the professor and the student. And it is the case that oftentimes, pedagogically speaking, we have this sort of mono experience where the professor is giving the information to the student in a kind of banking model where the student receives the knowledge in a sort of passive state. The language background, the communication background, I think, offers a different type of relationship, both teacher to student and the relationship between everyone and knowledge. So I try to set up a more dialogic relationship so that it is a conversation that is one that's of multiple perspectives and multimodal. I mean, it isn't just verbal, but it's also visual and kinesthetic. And so in terms of the teaching, I try to make it a type of a sort of simulation of society, or what I imagine to be the most ideal form of human flourishing. That's what I try to model in the classroom.
What would you say in terms of in the classroom and a lot of the content that you teach, what would you say is the most difficult part of conveying a concept or idea to someone who is new to your subject, especially to, say, Italian literature?
I think we're always engaging in new modes of learning, but one of the things that's difficult is the sense of history. I think in an age of TikTok, Instagram, the world of social media makes it so that we live in a type of present only. And so we live in the present with the hope of some kind of futurity, but it isn't really the case that we understand history. And this, to me, is the most important piece, because I want students especially to have a sense of the Western world and its relationship to the East with all of its, you know, trappings. And I also think that when it comes to conveying some information that's new, for myself, I first have to know the known. What is it that the student is coming in with? You can't really make the same assumptions that you could make, say, 20 years ago, given the differences in public schools and the range that students are coming in with. And so I always try to seek the, let's say, line, the base that they have, and then try to work from there. But even if that is a successful mode, I really don't think that's enough in terms of education. It really has to be coming from Plato's understanding of education as being moral. What do we do with the information that we are privileged to attain? For me, I think you have to leave the classroom and go back into what I would consider to be the larger classroom or the world. How can a student take what they know and communicate that back out into society in order to make a greater impact, not only for the citizenry, but democracy itself?
And that actually does lead into one of my next questions. What would you say in terms of, like, the material and over the course of, say, a student's experience in your class, how would you say that the material you teach affects their ability to communicate properly, as you said, in the world?
I think that, and you and I have talked about this before in classes, there is a kind of spiritual dearth that's occurring. Our lives are sort of withering away on computer screens and phones, and so students find it to be quite difficult. I mean, I've seen a change over the last several decades that the art of conversation has really dwindled, and social codes are not really understood in the way that they used to be understood. I can think about 20 years ago when I would walk into a university classroom, people would be talking, sharing, sitting on desks, very casually chatting with each other. When you walk in now, everyone is on their headphones, checking their phone in silence. And so the production of language is, I think, a great concern. I think we're in a crisis of conversation. What can I bring to a conversation? The social base unit for me is friendship. And this is Aristotelian in bent. But that break in the social bond concerns me. And so when I'm in a classroom, how does a student learn to communicate more effectively? They first have to have that bond and to feel psychologically safe in a classroom in order to speak with each other. This could be an effect of COVID. It could be an effect of the rise of technology. All of the tools and vehicles that we thought would bring us closer together, I see in a university classroom as actually making us more isolated. And I think it's something like over 75%, something like 78% of university students suffer from anxiety and depression. I think it has to do with this level of isolation. So my focus is always to bring back a laboratory format in the humanities. I actually don't even like calling it the humanities. I prefer the French version, which is, you know, they couch it as les sciences humaines, the human sciences. And I like that as a definition because it suggests group work, it suggests collaboration. And I think that the modern instantiation of the humanities in higher education is really stuck sort of in the Middle Ages, where we're craftsmen, every monk to their own cell, every professor in their own office. And I think it's a call to faculty nationwide to begin to form the bonds of human interaction in our classrooms, not just content, and to begin to reformulate the social bonds, especially post-pandemic.
So, of your entire 20 years plus of teaching, what would you say, or what changes would you say you've made to the way you teach from whence you started until today?
I was a researcher when I began. I had absolutely no interest in teaching. I wanted to be in an R1 and to be isolated doing, you know, producing new knowledge. And then I encountered undergraduates. And the conversations that I began to have with them absolutely changed the trajectory of my life, because there is a difference between being in a conversation as a student and being in a conversation as a professor. That seems obvious, and it seems almost a kind of restatement of the obvious, but to see the inspiration that can happen to a student, I think that it is altering for a professor. You can see what the hopes were, what the hope of the liberal education really is. You can see it when you're having conversations with undergraduates. And what is the hope? It was encyclopedic to begin. The hope was that there would be a reconfiguration of a person's interiority. And when that can happen in a conversation, and you can see them reconsider their values and what they want to do with their lives, it impacts not only them, but also you. And so I switched and became more interested in teaching, more than research. Although I am a researcher, my focus is on the student.
And so for my final question for you, what would you say has been the most fulfilling aspect of your teaching career in totality?
My favorite aspect is engagement. If I could house it down in one word, to see a student that might be coming in with a whole host of vulnerabilities. That can be academic vulnerabilities, social anxiety, any number of difficulties. And then to have them encounter the tradition of the West, which is the ideas. The idea can change a human being. The French call it an event. An idea is an event because it doesn't happen all that often. So to see students engage with people who are no longer with us, it gives me great hope, because we have a huge storehouse of knowledge, and there are all kinds of problems as to what has not been included in the archive in the West. Not all voices have been included, and I think we're trying to rectify that as we go forward in teaching in higher ed. But to see that engagement with the past, even ideas from the ancient world, the idea that that can still fuel and inspire society today, that for me is the most inspiring piece. To see a human being changed by encountering an idea, that's what keeps me going.
Well, that has been our time, Dr. Lopez. It's been a good pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.